Hey, this is John Young for H. Fields Institute and Project 512, and I have on the line with me today Nate Summers, who's the program director at Wilderness Awareness School since 1997, which means he was there the years that I was doing a lot of training and working with the forming community team that now runs an incredibly healthy and vibrant, powerful, cultural repair model there at Wilderness Awareness School in Duval, Washington. So, hi, Nate. How you doing?
I'm good, John. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm super excited to be talking to you. I'm feeling that nervousness because I realized in looking at the chart that, you know, pretty much you guys are doing all of this and that this is such a big part of what we were doing between 1994 and 1999 when I was doing all the training up there in the community, and that you guys are carrying on with this, like, at a level and capacity that pretty much is unmatched in the world right now in our network. And I think you guys are, for that reason, an amazing role model for what's possible, and I'm really excited to talk to you. I wanted to ask you, how many people do you guys reach a year, you know, in different age groups and things like that?
So we reach, over 2,500, sometimes 3,000 kids every summer and school year through our programs, and that's in addition to hundreds of adults that are just directly affected by our programs. And then, you know, we're now in such a place, which we feel really honored to be in, where a lot of our students have gone out and started programs, and so indirectly we're reaching thousands, if not tens of thousands of people all across the globe. And you know, that's in part a big part due to the work you're doing, that helping coach people when they leave here and start their own programs. And so there's lots of impact. And, it's just a big honor to be asked, though, to be a part of this project and to peel back and look a little bit behind the scenes a little bit more at what we're doing in a conscious way.
Nice. Well, Nate, I just know that there's pretty much, you know, if this cultural elements chart was one of those beanbag board, we could just throw a beanbag on it and anywhere it hits, you could talk for hours about it. But what's calling you? You know, like what do you, you know, you were telling me before this call that this is stuff that you're using for staff training already. Like you guys are basically very intentionally and consciously training people on this stuff. You want to speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, this list is something we return to at least annually to just, you know, kind of check ourselves and see where we're being effective, maybe areas where we need to grow. And, you know, we work with our apprentices on this or our staff. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, just jump out at me is, there's a whole section here where the discussion of elders and the importance of elders and elder anchoring. And how, you know, I mean, the elders here at Wilderness Awareness School play such a critical role. They're like they hold the charge of the buildup of all the spiritual and natural energy that happens in our programs. And they're, you know, our staff turn to them, our apprentices turn to them, our Anake students turn to them. I just met with Bobby last week with one of our staff members to help us, you know, through some challenge and, you know, just work out a good way to move forward. And we had another elder come up to the land last Friday, and we're starting to get ready to do a big campaign. And this elder was just, you know, helping. She was modeling like a lot of love and honor and gratitude and helping us, you know, talk to the land and listen to the land. And what does it want from us in this campaign we're going forward to try to own the land outright, you know? And you know, we're talking about, like, what kinds of ways can we make offerings to the land? How can we communicate directly to the land and ask its permission, you know, and connect to the ancestors there? And, you know, that was just, like, that was just one day, you know, with some of the senior staff where we were all together working with this elder. So, there's a lot of different ways these things pop up, you know, how we start our day, you know, how we end our day, you know, using, you know, our sensory imagination. You know, that was part of what we were doing with this elder on Friday, was just like going through and seeing this successful ceremony we're going to do for the land, and then also the ceremony we're going to launch for, deepening our connection to the land, you know. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And, you know, Nate and I are both looking on our Kickstarter page at the 64 cultural elements, you know, and referencing this as we're communicating with you right now through this call and this recording. And I was also looking, you know, to the right of that in that seventh ring, you know, the north ring there. You're referencing Elder Anchoring, and I saw you jump over to the fifth ring in the Sensory Imagination piece, which we just recorded at Outside Now in San Luis Obispo last weekend. It was really a fun recording. I'm looking at storied landscapes, right? So, you know, we're over here in the southwest column, right, on the north line, on the north ring, and I know that place, that land that you guys are trying to raise, you know, you're raising the capital campaign to do the final purchase of that land, so it's forever preserved for the legacy of all the people who are affected by it, which is really an awesome goal, and of course, we really want to support that, too. The storied landscape, speak a bit about that, because I think people would love to hear a little bit about what is a storied landscape, and how does that play out at that land there?
Oh, yeah, that was a huge part of what we were doing is, on Friday, our leadership council, so our senior staff and our director's council were together with this amazing woman named Sarah McLean Bicknell, who's now on our board and is in the process of joining the elders here. And, you know, she had been invited in to help us design a ceremony to support this project. And one of the main things she had us do was walk around the land and tell her the stories of the place and, like, basically introduce her to the land and introduce the land to her. And, you know, just even through the names of the land, it was a huge learning. And it's one of those things that we are definitely unconscious of. And it's like we talk about the name of the land is Lindoran, you know, Pond of the Otter. And then we actually went down to the pond and told the stories of the otters there. Or we went up to Malolo Yachui and talked about it as the lair of the leopard and talked about the north end of the property as Waziata, the place of the pines where Gilbert's trailer used to be, and now there's a fire pit there that's honored, you know, named in his honor. And then we journeyed over to the other parcel that is the called Coho Ridge, and how the western border of that property is has the North Fork of Cherry Creek flows through it. And when we chose the name for Coho Ridge, that was with the intention of inviting the salmon back, you know, that the Coho could return to that place. And, you know, what emerged is we ended up making a big map of all of the significant spots on these two landscapes. And that, you know, big piece that Sarah shared with us was the idea of weaving these lands together closer. So we think of them as one parcel, not two parcels. And where did we need to tend to the land? Where did it maybe need, maybe where there was some grief in the land that needed to be released, because it hadn't been treated as well, you know, not on our property, but in the intersection of the two places. So it was really quite potent sharing the stories of the landscapes, a lot of which has really just popped up through, you know, the natural process of children doing the core routines and connecting to nature, you know, with adults for many, many years, that these stories build on their own. You know, it's not that we deliberately do this. It just, it comes out of us and it comes out of them. And it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then, you know, what I've spoken to in, you know, the mapping piece there, which is Ring 3 Southwest, I was talking to a group about how mapping is something that, yeah, we can do it on paper with, you know, and look down on the land in our mind's eye, right, and map on paper. But that what we really encourage when we're training people in this deep nature connection work is how a storied landscape becomes, you know, landmarks on a map that lives in our head, you know, and how powerful that is for our neurobiology, if you will, and it really activates so many powerful things, you know. And I know, you know, having, you know, been part of that land, you know, I see that land in my mind's eye so clearly, you know, and I remember when Ingwe named Malolo Yachui, when it was just a few rocks around a little hole that we had dug, and then we ended up, you know, putting a tarp over it and, you know, keeping it there for a while, and he said, let it always be remembered as a sacred fire where children will learn of the Mother Earth and hope for the future. And ever since then, that fire has only been lit with, you know, hand drill or bow drill, right? It's never been lit by match or lighter, and that was Ingwe's request. And you know, these are really powerful things. And, of course, that ties to honoring lineage and honoring ancestors, and you all have that beautiful, the Ingwe Library up there in Cedar Lodge, the building that was built there on the foundation. And, you know, all of Ingwe's regalia hangs there. And whenever I'm there and teaching there, I just feel this deep sense of lineage and, you know, deep sense of honoring of ancestors. And so hopefully people will have the blessing and the opportunity to visit that land, and maybe they'll want to help you in your campaign to support, you know, the final purchase of that place so that it can be preserved as a legacy piece for, you know, not only the people who are alive now, but really for all of the people coming in the future, but also the inspiration that that gives to communities. Because the one thing that I say as I travel around, one of the things I like to say about Wilderness Awareness School is that they have that land, which is the place where people gather. And so many of the Nature Connection organizations around the world struggle to find place. You know, they use parks or they use other people's property.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a blessing it is that place is there. And, you know, really wishing you luck on that campaign. But, yeah, well, I know there's so much more we could talk about, Nate, but I think we can call it good here, and maybe we can have another one of these down the road. But I also would hope everybody could support our 512 Project Kickstarter. We're getting close now, and we'd love to be able to hit our goal so we can essentially offer these little recipes. You know, if you look at that 64 cultural elements chart that Nate and I are referencing, you think of them as recipe cards for you to cook up your own cultural fun in your neighborhood and add the ingredients that you like. And, yeah, be sure to check out our Kickstarter and Wilderness Awareness School. Anything you'd like to say, Nate, in wrapping up here?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks again, John. And, yeah, how beautiful it is that these cultural points are being used in so many different places, and that there's now this opportunity to capture some of the oral tradition and the living tradition around this. And, you know, we're fully supportive of this project going forward, and what a great opportunity for everybody. And then, you know, when you have this this teaching bundle in your tool set, it's phenomenal what you can do. You know, when people are really looking, when they talk to me, when I get calls from our graduates of like, okay, Nate, like, I've got some summer camps going on. I've got these programs going on. Like, what's the next thing to, like, make it really work? How can I weave it together, you know? This is what I give everybody. It's like, okay, the next layer up is the 64 cultural points. Like, this is the power tool that's going to enable you to accomplish so much, you know? And so it's really exciting to be a part of a project that supports that.
Right on. Well, I'm so thankful to you and to Wilderness Awareness School for all that you're doing and inspiring. And we'll stay in touch.
Sounds great, John. Thanks.
Thank you, Nate.